Hi, everyone. ESPN Daily is still on break today, so we're going to replay another episode, Dave Fleming's excellent story on the weird world of NHL dentists. If you haven't already listened, it's our finest piece of oral storytelling. But before we do that, I'm going to first share a new story I want you to know. This time, about the abundance of bowl games and the dearth of teams who can actually compete in them. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Friday, November 29th, and this is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business.
And Chris Davis takes it to the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards.
This is, of course, college football's rivalry week. And while I'm sure most casual fans are looking forward to epic showdowns like Ohio State-Michigan or Alabama-Auburn, there were also games with implications for, shall we say, less successful teams, where a win or loss will determine whether or not they're even eligible for bowls. I'm talking about programs like Ohio, North Carolina, TCU, teams with just 5 or 6 wins that need victories this weekend to appear average. According to a story from CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd, just 72 teams have qualified for the 78 bowl slots. The biggest shortfall in years. And that's even after many rounds of lowering the standards for eligibility. You may remember back in 2010, the NCAA started allowing 6-6 teams into bowls. 2 years later, they lowered it to 5-7. And now, even with that new low bar, they're having trouble filling spots. Now, the obvious explanation is there are too many bowl games, which, yes, there are a lot. There are so many that the NCAA hit the pause button on new bowls back in 2015. But that moratorium expires in 2020 when we'll get 4 new ones, bringing the total to 42 games. There's the Cheez-It Bowl, the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl, the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, the Spindrift Raspberry Lime Bowl. That one I made up. There's a can of Spindrift on my desk right now. But you get the idea. The proliferation of bowls has been the subject of jokes for years, and also a source of much hand-wringing. People have been complaining about this for the better part of a century. Back in the 30s, when there were like 5 bowls, every time they added a new one, college football fans lost their minds. And I get it. It's easy to look at the brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart bowl, that's not a real one, that's also something on my desk, and question the legitimacy of the tradition. Or go on a rant about participation trophy culture, something-something, millennials are ruining the world. But ultimately, who cares? No one on earth is confusing these lesser bowls with the bigger, more important ones. And for some of these average teams, it's not just a trip. It's a chance for coaches to work with younger players and gin up some excitement for their programs. Now, if you excuse me, I'm gonna go finish my Pop-Tart. And coming up, Dave's story about NHL dentists. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Dave.
Yes.
Incredible investigative journalism here. This is really your Mueller report.
Wow. That's where we're starting?
That is where we're starting.
Dave Fleming is a senior writer for ESPN.
Can you walk me through how a hockey player loses a tooth on the ice?
It's actually a really good question because it speaks to kind of what I love about hockey and what I think doesn't translate on television especially is the speed and the violence and the moving parts in hockey. There's nothing to compare it to in sports. So you've got all these guys moving at 20 miles an hour, wearing razor blades on their feet, with sticks flailing everywhere, boards coming up fast. And this piece of vulcanized rubber flying around. The most common thing is just a fluke. The puck goes off a stanchion or a pass goes off somebody's foot. It is weird how it's like these things are almost like drawn to these poor guys' teeth.
Dupuy around that net. Hustles for the puck, can't get it. Kunis will. Left side to Warpick, a slapper. Oh, that hit Crosby in the face. That puck took off and caught Crosby in the face and lifted him right off his skates. And down he went.
How many players in the NHL would you say have not had a tooth knocked out?
My guess is going to be 10% or less. I think the guys on the teams who haven't had any dental trauma, they're the exceptions. And in fact, I think they actually get picked on because they're not quote unquote official, right? And guys do sort of, they don't celebrate it, but it's like when that first tooth gets knocked out, it's like, okay, I'm officially a hockey player now. It's this rite of passage has been cleared.
A moment of tooth.
JT Brown having trouble getting it out of the zone. Bergeron, Pastrnak gets one right across the mug, and that might need a little bit of repair.
The idea of like teeth and hockey and sort of that toothless grin of the guy holding up the Stanley Cup is, for people who love hockey, it's iconic. There's so much damage to teeth. Who fixes all those teeth?
So does every team have a dentist?
Every team has a dentist, and they're usually at every home game. And they, most of them carry with them this, like a little, like classic sort of like old time doctor bag that's full of all these medieval tools and must be giant needles. And they are ready at a moment's notice. They're usually somewhere where they can quickly get to, you know, down the tunnel and into the locker room. Gil Rivera, the guy who is the Tampa Bay's dentist, you know, I never thought of it this way, but he was like, you know, if you're a dentist and you're into this kind of stuff and you want to use all of your skills, he's like, this is the greatest gig in the world because it is like traumatic and injuries that you would never see. He's like, I see like, you know, 15 times a season.
How do guys like Gil Rivera even learn how to do this?
I think when he realized he was getting this gig, he went and got like every single book and manual he could on traumatic oral surgeries and injuries and studied up. And then he realized after the first sort of puck or stick to the mouth that he was like, I got to wing it. They don't teach this in dental school. One of the things that all the dentists do is they take molds of these guys' teeth at the beginning of every season. So that when they do inevitably get knocked out or destroyed, they have an original copy that they can rebuild the teeth from.
So every NHL dentist in his office has the molds of every player on the team.
Yes, and we were in the room in Tampa where Gil keeps his teeth, and I gotta tell you, it felt a little bit like a serial killer. It's like these disgusting, and I don't know why they use the plaster of Paris is like green, like light green. It's super creepy.
Pajot's going in for the shot and the eventual goal, and Subban's stick rides up Pajot's, and in the celebration, they all stop as they look for his tooth.
They're not actually the ones collecting the teeth from the ice, are they?
Sometimes they are, because they, if they're popped out the right way and they're sort of preserved, you can put them back in.
Chris Tierney checking his mouth, see if all the teeth are there.
At least once a season, a tooth will get knocked out and it will land on the ice and someone will skate over in their disgusting hockey glove and pick up the tooth and deliver it to the bench so that it can then be delivered to the dentist. Now, if you know anything about hockey, the last thing you would ever want to touch a tooth would be a hockey glove. They smell like the inside of an old shoe that was housing a dead fish. If my tooth ever got knocked out and my buddy picked it up with his hockey glove, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I'm good. You just keep that tooth. Keep the tooth.
When we come back, why working with hockey players is a point of pride for Dennis.
Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/passtheprotection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/passtheprotection.
What are some of the more gruesome injuries you heard about?
Craig McDonald was a winger for the Lightning, and he stepped in front of a shot in the defensive zone, and literally the puck went all the way into his mouth.
He fires, and it's blocked, and it hit the Lightning player. It's Craig McDonald.
And just, I mean, it's like a cartoon. It just cleared out 9 teeth. So they cleaned him up, and they sent him home, but he couldn't get to the dentist's office until the next morning. And the way he describes just every sort of like every breath, you know, sent that sort of direct nerve electricity through his entire body. And he got to Gil's office the next morning, and Gil was like, it was like he still has like post-traumatic stress disorder from just the describing what the guy's mouth looked like when he opened it up. When he was talking, he put his like 4 fingers like a walrus in front of his mouth. He's like, that's what the roots look like hanging down from inside this guy's mouth.
Tell me about what happened to Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman Braden Coburn when he was playing for Team Canada.
He is in a rink at the World Championship in, I think it was Belarus. And a guy from Team Italy takes like a baseball swing at a puck that's flying through the air, misses the puck, and the follow-through hits him right in the mouth. Basically, I mean, takes out an entire row of teeth. I think the way he described it, I love that. He was like, the teeth fell out like piano keys. They were like, oh, you're going to see the best dentist in Belarus. And they take him into a thing that he described as like a cinder block broom closet. And, you know, they put him in the chair and nobody speaks English. For 3 hours, it is like something straight out of like a horror movie as they're working on his teeth and working on his teeth. And he's like almost passing out from the pain and from the anxiety of like, I don't have no idea what they're doing right now. They may be pulling all my teeth. He's in a full-on panic and he's in extreme pain. And the woman stands up and goes, okay, finish. Come back after dinner, get your teeth. And he's like, well, that can't be right. He's like, this kind of stuff takes like weeks to do.
She's like, you'll be ready after supper. So I come back, they fit it. It's a perfect fit.
Oh my God.
That was 4 or 5 years ago now.
He still wears those teeth. And he was like, it was the greatest example of sort of emergency dentistry he's ever seen.
It's been a tough series, boy, I'll tell you. A lot of teeth lost. The dentists are making good money in this one.
So is being a hockey dentist a full-time, on-staff paid job?
No, most of them don't get paid. Some get an honorarium, a small honorarium, but they get 2 tickets to every home game, and they get the association with a hockey team.
So is there a marketing benefit of being able to say, hey, I work on the worst teeth in the world. I can handle your cavity.
It's like, yeah, I just fixed a guy's teeth whose the puck went all the way into his mouth. I think I can handle your root canal, sir.
And the glory belongs to the city of St. Louis. The Blues are 2019 Stanley Cup champions.
How many dentists get rings? And why don't they get plaques? I'm sorry.
I think every team that wins a Stanley Cup gives their dentist a ring. I think that is a really good indication of how important they are and how much the players and the team actually appreciate what they do.
Dave, thanks for the interview. It was very incisive.
No sweat.
I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you Monday.